Many a time when we pray, and I included, we keep asking God to change things, to change situation, to ask for a career, ask for good results, ask for healing of illness. And more often than not, it is my will. God, please answer me. This is what I want, and this will really make me happy. So please answer me. And I have prayed. But as I consider the issue of prayer and the passage that we are about to read and various aspects of the lives of the people of God, I soon realize that prayer conforms us to the will of God. And which means that prayer changes the person who prays. And how does it change? It changes the person to conform to the perspective of God, to the will of God. Not my will, but God's will be done. And that is why when we pray and when we ask God, God will lead and guide us so and mold us in accordance with His will. I have a few passages here that we can read, and first one is John chapter 15, a very familiar portion of scripture that talks about the vine and the branches. And there lies a significant lesson for us to learn about prayer. Now read to you from John 15 verses 1 to 17 as the background. And here the Lord Jesus Christ said to His disciples, His followers, that I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, is the farmer that tends to the farm. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. So many a time in our prayers, it is as if when we pray in the Lord's name, and we will expect automatically, God, you got to answer me because I have prayed in Jesus' name. But is this what this passage meant? No. It is our conformity to the will of God. In verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. It's just if we obey God, if we understand what God's will is in His word, and we pray and live out that life in accordance with God's will, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will. And what is that will then? That will is no longer our will. That will has been conformed to God's will. And when it is conformed to God's will, it shall be done unto you. So when we pray, let us examine our motives. God, give me that car. God, give me that job so that I can get bigger pay. God, please heal me. I think that, I'm in the hospital now and I need you. Sorry, in the past I did not get to you, but now I really need you. Just heal me, quickly. Just wave that magic wand. Heal me now. God, I want to have that girl as my girlfriend. Give it to me. Hang on. Let us ask ourselves, what is the will of God? Here in verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Prayer changes our perspective to be in conformity to God's will. God's will in my life, God's will in your life doesn't change. God already has His will in your life even before you knew it. You don't know what lies ahead. God already knows. You don't know what job is for you. God already knows. You don't know what results in your exams. God already knows. You don't know what kind of friends that may come your path. God already knows. You don't know who your future spouse might be. God already knows. So when we pray, the person that will be changed is the person who prays, not God. God has His will. His will doesn't change. And that's why here, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So let us re-examine our own lives and to find and to weed out that selfish prayer that, God, let my will be done because I want it so. Let us think carefully tonight. Let us look at God's servant. And we have been reading and studying about his life, David. And we look at 2 Samuel chapter 12. And what happened? And we could all recall in 2 Samuel chapter 12. And I shall read from verses 13 to 23. Here we all know that David sinned against God in going into Bathsheba and murdered Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, thinking that nobody knew. But then Prophet Nathan came and with the word of God rebuked. And let us see how David prayed. Verse 13, when the news was announced to David. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child. David prayed and prayed and prayed for the child so that the child will not die. God, let not this child die. He prayed. And David fasted He really meant business. He really meant it. And went in and lay all night upon the earth. There was very intense prayer of David, trying to change the will of God, as it were. And the elders of his house arose and went to him and to raise him up from the earth, but he would not. Neither did he eat bread with them. He wanted to pray. Who knows? He might change God's plan, God's will, so that the child will not die. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, "Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead?" But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." Then David arose from the earth, and washed, and anointed himself, and changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord, and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, "What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread." And he said, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live?" And David learned that through this prayer, he cannot change God's will, but David is changed. David is changed to acknowledge God. David is changed to realize the consequences of his sin. David is changed to know that God required the king of Israel to obey God. In verse 23, "But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." This is one incident of prayer that David tried to change the will of God. And so many a time we try to change the will of God in our lives, thinking that, "God, what you have given to me, honestly, I don't think I really appreciate it. And I'd like you to change your will so that I can be a happier person in this different situation. God, why have you not answered me?" Like David. As David prayed and prayed, David was the person who was changed, not God. And when we pray, we will be changed, not God. And so that we will be conformed to God's will. And we can also see echoing this in Psalm 51, which David wrote. Psalm 51. And it's on that same incident that David wrote about his repentance of his sin that he has committed against the Lord. Psalm 51, verses 1 to 4. And I read this to you. It said, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." As David prayed, David began to know God more intimately. Begin to know God experientially. Begin to know God's loving kindness, tender mercies, but also know God that he is holy. "Wash me," verse 2, "thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." When we pray, have we ever looked into our own lives and asked, "God, you know what the sin that I have committed against you. Others may not know, but you know. God, please forgive me." Because when we harbor sin and iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." In this instance, David prayed, and it is not God's will that was changed. It was David that was changed, and he conformed to God's will. Let us look at another servant of God in the New Testament, Peter. And we shall look at the famous account in the book of Luke. And Luke chapter 22. And I read to you from verses 60 to 62. The famous incident whereby Peter denied the Lord. Verse 60. And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And we can infer that when Peter went out and wept bitterly, he was examining his own life and was praying. And let us see his encounter with the resurrected Lord in John chapter 21. And in John 21, again, the very familiar portion of verses 15 to 17. As Peter communicates, converse with the Lord Jesus Christ, as we pray unto our God Almighty, as we commune with our Lord Jesus, and this is what happened to Peter. And our Lord Jesus Christ didn't change, but Peter surely would have been changed. In verse 15, "So when they had dined," and it's a wonderful fellowship between the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples who came on shore. And Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? Agape thou me more than these? Do you love me with that sacrificial love more than all these people, more than all the other disciples?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Thou knowest that I phileo thee." Peter dare not use the word agape. Dare not. He learned his lesson. He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." The Lord Jesus Christ, he saith unto him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me, or agape thou me? Sacrificial love thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. I phileo thee." I dare not even use that high term, sacrificial love. He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." He saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me?" The Lord Jesus Christ tested him even, "Do you even phileo me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, reminding Peter of, well, when he denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times. And he was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me? Peter, do you even phileo me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus said that unto him, "Feed my sheep." This communication, this prayer unto the Lord, taught Peter that he should not be so proud. He should be humble. He claimed to have agape, the Lord Jesus Christ. He claimed to have sacrificial love, the Lord Jesus Christ, more than all the other disciples. But soon he realized that he's frail. He's humbled. And is given a second chance. Is given time to repent. And he is so grateful unto the Lord Jesus. And this prayer and this communication, fellowship of Peter with the Lord Jesus Christ, taught Peter these very precious lessons that God wants him to learn, to be humble and to conform to God's will and to serve and to feed God's lamb and God's sheep. So tonight, as we come before the Lord to pray, there's one verse that I'd like to us to refer to. That's Romans 8:28. A very familiar verse, Romans 8:28. And we shall read that or recite that together. Ready, go. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Wow. We know that all things work together for good. God's will in our lives will be revealed to us step by step by step. We need to abide in Christ and Christ in us. God's word in us, and we be conformed to the Lord's will. And we accept God's will. And then the joy of the Lord will flood our souls. Many a time we are not happy because our will is not done. And we care less what God's will for us might be. And we always think that God is probably a sadist who always wants the worst kind of things to happen to us. No, God loves us. We are his children. And when we pray, remember, it's not that we change God. It's us, the person who prays, that will be changed. And we'll begin to wear a different spectacle. We'll begin to put on the perspective of God. And then we'll begin to see our situation in the perspective of God. We'll begin to see our job, our family, our relationship, and whatever that we might be going through, even our illness, and things that are seemingly very difficult. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So tonight as we pray, there are many prayer items. And when we pray for those who are unsaved, they need salvation. When we pray for them, and it should change us. And how will it change us? To reach out to the person whom we pray? Or to ask of the person whose name was written down there, a family member or a friend of our church, member or friend, and ask him, is there any way that I can reach out to your friend? Those who are in need of spiritual growth, when we pray for them, and then how can we be changed? When we pray for them, we ask God that we be not so high and mighty, that we need spiritual growth too. And it is not that when their name appeared, it means that, oh, this will be second-rated Christians. They need our prayer. No. It grants us more humility. And if there's any opportunity to reach out to them and encourage them in the Word of God, to encourage them in a most pragmatic way, a word or two to give them encouragement in the Lord. And when we pray for those who are ill, we pray that they be recovered, and we pray that the Lord's will be done. There was one day in Chinese New Year whereby I asked one of my cousins, because we were reaching out to her father, who is my fourth uncle, and I said, Linda, and said that when we pray, do we pray that our will be done or God's will be done? And she said that, Boaz, I'm so afraid to pray. Why? Who knows? God will allow my dad to go through a calamity, and I can't bear to see my dad going through the calamity. A few weeks ago, my fourth uncle went into the hospital. Last stage cancer, is about 90 or 91 years old. Last stage cancer. And before he was rolled into the theater, operating theater, my same cousin, Linda, asked Dad, can we pray for you? And would you like to believe in the Lord Jesus as your Savior? My fourth uncle said, yes. And they prayed before they went in. And the other day when I visited my uncle, I said, uncle, can I pray for you? He said, sure. Then I said, did I hear that you believe in the Lord Jesus? He was saying, trying to avoid that question. And then there was another daughter who flew back from the States. Her name is Lucy. And Lucy said, Dad, I thought Linda mentioned that before you were rolled into the operating theater, you prayed and accepted the Lord. My fourth uncle said, yes, I did. So I said, uncle, can I pray for you for God's blessings and for you to know the Lord more? So we prayed, and then towards the end, he said, I hope that your prayer will come true, that I get to know the Lord more and drawn closer to the Lord. And this uncle is a staunch Guan Yin Buddhist syncretism kind of person. And so when we pray, God, may thy will be done, not my will. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And when we pray for the church activities, and how does that change us? Change us to respond, for example, in the church camp, if you have not signed up, to sign. If you see there's a particular need of a pastor is preaching this Lord's Day, pray for a pastor, write a little note of encouragement to him. And there's so many things that we should be changed to conform to God's will, not just a reading, amen, and finish. Many a time, I included, it becomes perfunctory. It becomes like, okay, I'm reading, or I'm just praying those words. But tonight, let us just pause for a while and realize that prayer doesn't change God's will, but it changes us who pray, that we might be conformed to God's will. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 15 just now when we read? This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. And that is when we do God's will. So let us pray that tonight our attitude towards prayer will change us to conform to God's will. Let us pray.